I'm now going to ask John Gardner to say a few words to you. John was Secretary of HEW during the very early days of the implementation of Medicare, but worked with Wilbur on many, many other problems as well. John?
Thank you, Bob. Well, the fate of a speaker late on the list is to see his comments whittled away by all the eloquent speakers, and that's been my experience. I've been very deeply moved by the comments that have been made here today. It's perfectly clear that Wilbur touches people deeply, and he certainly touched me deeply. Having crossed off most of what I wanted to say, I think that I will settle for some remarks on the qualities of mind and character that really made Wilbur a role model for people contemplating, young people contemplating public service. Extraordinary qualities of mind and character. For the past several years, I've been studying leadership, writing a book on it, and I want to emphasize particularly some of the qualities that made him such an effective leader. I never knew anyone who was better equipped psychologically to cope with the battles of public life, the rigors of public life, than Wilbur Cohen. His good temper and his goodwill softened the intensity of the conflicts with which every public leader has to live. He never succumbed to bitterness or paranoia or self-pity. He rarely took conflict personally. There was none of the ego inflation that so often comes with high office. And as very often mentioned today, his sense of humor was a resource that was never far from the surface. He was very comfortable in a team relationship, which is immensely important in public leadership. He was a tireless builder of alliances, even in the camp of the opposing forces. He could form working relationships with people I couldn't be in the same room with. And his capacity to do so brought innumerable victories for the causes that we were both working for. In matters of public policy, Wilbur never lost sight of his long-term purposes. That has been stressed over and over again, but so critically important to public leadership. He never gave up. He never lost his resilience. Defeat was simply an occasion to strengthen resolve. He understood that public policy was forged in conflict and accommodation, and worked, as has been said over and over, with persistence and ingenuity and goodwill to make his purpose prevail. He was gracious in defeat, but as he retreated, he was always planning the next advance. Everyone knew that about Wilbur, and of course the advance occurred. Now, if a leader doesn't have an inner circle of loved ones, he's without shelter in a hazardous environment. Montaigne once said of his home, "I endeavor to free this corner from the public storm as I do another corner in my soul." And Wilbur was very good at that. He valued and nurtured his inner circle of family and friends, with Eloise at the center. Wilbur was artful, as leaders must be, in dealing with others, but what all of us loved him for, finally, was something utterly artless at the heart of his nature. Utterly artless. Blended of buoyant good humor and decency and a kind of bottomless warmth. We admired him for his resourcefulness and his vision. We loved him for that wholehearted authenticity of his nature. During his lifetime, when friends spoke of him in his absence, it was always with an affectionate smile. That smile is kind of hard to manage today, but for the sake of this wonderful man, we have to recover as soon as possible the capacity to invoke his name with a loving smile. Thank you very much.